Eric works as a server at a St. Paul diner.
I love this place. I love the customers.
It's a popular spot, especially with the 9-to-5 crowd. Eric's in his mid-40s with sandy-colored hair and an easy smile. He's got a friendly way with customers. But most of them don't know about the kinds of things he struggled with. For Eric, each day starts with a prayer.
When I get on my knees, I keep those prayers simple. In the morning, I say, please help me to stay sober today. Show me what you would have me do today, because I'm lost. I'm screwed without you.
Eric's been sober for over 6 years now. He's in Alcoholics Anonymous, or AA, which is why I'm only using his first name. As a teenager, Eric experimented with drugs and alcohol. He always loved music and used to play in a band. In this video testimonial about his recovery, Eric remembers back on that time in his life.
We had a chance to play some big gigs with some pretty big name bands. I took it to the next level with the drugs, and pretty soon it became cocaine and heroin.
As Eric's addiction worsened, he had to leave the band. Later, his wife filed for divorce.
I knew I was an addict and an alcoholic a long time ago, but when my wife said that she had it and that we were done, we started our divorce proceeding, and it just, that was my wake-up call, you know, and to this day I thank her for giving me the boot.
Eric says it's important to remember that singular moment of hitting rock bottom. When things get hard with recovery, that memory becomes a kind of touchstone. It's the thing you don't want to go back to. For Eric, that moment happened on a day when his wife, who'd already filed for divorce, came to check up on him.
I was living in a rental in North Minneapolis in the hood, and I had the shades drawn, and I was smoking crack, and I was drinking, and I was shooting dope, and I was, you know, just all alone in a smoky place. And we had two dogs together, Squidgy and Cricket, and she would bring them over to visit me, you know, occasionally just to kind of cheer me up and make sure I was all right, check on me, basically. And one day she brought the dogs over, and I was exceptionally lit at the time she came, meaning I was really intoxicated on multiple drugs and alcohol at the time. And she opened the door, and the dogs looked at me through the door, and they turned around and jumped back in her car. They were like, please don't leave us here with him. And at that moment, she put him back in the car, and she came in with me, and she laid her head on my lap and wept with me. And that was like my, I think that was the moment when I knew that I just had had enough, and I knew there was no going back, but that, you know, I couldn't do it anymore.
After that, Eric got sober. He moved into transitional housing, which kept him close to people who were new to recovery.
There's something about recovery, I think, that it's really important to be with the new guy all the time, you know, to be where it's happening, where that rock bottom happens, and to have your hand extended.
One way Eric lives that responsibility is by volunteering with an AA prison fellowship. Twice a year, he drives down to Tennessee to share his recovery story with inmates there. These trips got started about 4 years ago when Eric became pen pals with a Tennessee inmate who's also connected to AA. On Eric's last trip back in March, he spoke at a prison he hadn't been to before, the Charles B. Bass Correctional Complex in Nashville. Eric refers to it as the lockup.
So I go into the lockup, and that is a lot more crowded and stinky, and I mean, just the feeling of walking in there, you know, and that...
What does it smell like?
It smells like socks and you know, like just sweat. There's almost a smell of like violence too. You know, you can almost taste and smell it.
Eric's been down to Tennessee 7 times. These trips are a kind of pilgrimage for him. He feels like he's making a difference there.
Going to Tennessee has been the most meaningful, powerful thing, you know, that I can do. And then I'm not rich by any means, but I'm single and I don't have children, and I'm happy to be sober, so that's my vacation. And now twice a year I've made a host of friends down there, and I just go down, I get myself a hotel room and same place next to the Waffle House and do my thing down there, you know, and go to the honky tonks and take a drive through some other places down south. It's been a meaningful adventure.
It's completely Eric's choice to spend his vacations in a prison. No one is paying his way or telling him he has to go. But these trips are more than just a choice. They're actually a kind of necessity. In order to help himself, Eric has to help other people. And without recovery, he thinks he probably would have landed on the other side of those prison walls. Or even worse.
Honestly, I'd probably be dead. There's no doubt in my mind, I'd be deader in prison.
Back in Minnesota, Eric ends his days, just as he begins them, with a simple prayer.
It's basically thanks. Thank you. You know, it's grace.
For KFAI, I'm Nancy Rosenbaum. Funding for 10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.